This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing. Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, filled with thy love. Make me a temple, deemed to receive you. Fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Amen. Well, amen. Joy to be the Lord's house tonight, amen.
Amen.
Joy to the special. Joy to all the specials this week. My favorite was probably the Mega Men. Just hands down. I mean, just no one else even came close, but that was a... No, every special, all the singing, been a blessing. We've enjoyed the week so much. Hard to believe it's Thursday. But that's always good, you know, when you're somewhere preaching And your preacher's preached enough as well to know when you're somewhere preaching, it goes by fast, that's a good thing. And when it seems to go by slow, you know, I told you a while back, said, yeah, it mentioned churches. Yeah, I preached there a month one week, you know. And it's kind of nice when it goes by fast. And we appreciate your faithfulness. And here on a Thursday night in the house of God, appreciate your faithfulness throughout the week. And it's a privilege to get to know some of you and just have a visual of where your preacher is at here. And maybe pray a little better and enjoyed getting to know him a little better this week as well. And I tell you, you've been blessed with the man of God God gave you. And I know you know that, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded of that. And to love him, stand with him, and take care of him. And, you know, it ought to be that he's never having to pray for his own needs. So he can spend all his time praying for you. And love and take care of him. I know you do. And but we're so thankful to cross paths with them. And the preacher's wife, that wasn't a bad song for just trying to sing, you know. And so that's a blessing, really is. And just excited to be here. And will you pray for us as we head back? And looking forward to the trip. Not the trip, but looking forward to getting back home and things. We appreciate the time spent here. It's just been a blessing. And even the days my son and I have been able to spend together, just been a blessing. And we appreciate that you've fed us to the point we're about fed up. I mean, you've fed us well. You've treated us royally. Thank you for the nice room and all the snacks and just everything throughout the week. Just been a tremendous, tremendous blessing, and all the kind words along the way. We appreciate the fact that those of you that did not have any kind words, that you did not share those with us, and that was a blessing too. All right. All right, Daniel chapter number 1 this evening, Daniel chapter number 1. I'm going to read one verse here just kind of as a springboard, and we'll look at some other verses as well. But the thought is laid down here in this verse and the principle found throughout the Word of God. Daniel chapter number 1. I love this book, don't you? I'm telling you, just a wonderful wonderful book. When I got saved, I never owned a Bible growing up. And when I got saved, my mother-in-law gave me a little New Testament, which I carried around all the time. Just couldn't get enough of it. And God put our home back together and things of that nature. And that next June on Father's Day, my wife bought me the greatest tool any man could ever have to repair anything that's needed within the home. That next year for Father's Day, my wife bought me my first whole Bible. And it's just a wonderful book. It's done a wonder in our hearts. It's done a wonder in our homes. And I'm just what a book. Matter of fact, I believe this book so much. Your preacher believes this book so much. We've given our life to preach it. I mean, just really, we just believe it works. If we just take those things and apply them, and when he's up here and preaching away at you, he's not trying to find a way to be hard on you or mean. He wants God's best on your life and on your family because it is a good life. It really is. And it's a wonderful one. And all of you that have given in to what the Lord would have would testify it's a good life. Amen. And so we're thankful for that. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this evening. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege that's ours to be in this place again tonight. Thank you, dear God, for the faithfulness of the people. Thank you for the sweet spirit, the music and fellowship that we've enjoyed. Dear God, we pray now tonight that you'd speak to us, speak through us. And Father, that you take the message, help us as we preach it tonight, touch our voice. Beyond that, dear God, breathe upon our heart. And we pray every heart would be receptive tonight. Every heart would be attentive, receptive, to allow the Word of God to take root within our hearts. Do that work tonight, only you can. Father, I pray, I believe there's probably someone here tonight that if they would listen tonight, this may prevent them from a lot of tragedy and heartache down the road. So God, I pray you do that within our hearts and minds, that we'd listen on purpose. We'll certainly give you the praise for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Have you ever heard somebody make the statement, and I think it's one of the most damaging philosophies we have in the world today. There's a lot of damaging philosophies out of the world, but one of the most damaging, I believe, is a statement where someone will make the statement, I just have to follow my heart. You ever heard that statement? I just have to follow my heart. I'm doing this. I know you may not understand, but I just got to follow my heart. And that's a statement we hear a lot within the world. And the sad thing is we've even had Christians that have come in or saved people that have come in and made the statement that they're leaving the church and they're making some choices. And they'll follow up with that statement. I just have to follow my heart. And that may sound really good, and like I say, the world really puts that philosophy out there, but you know, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Anyone that would trust their own heart is a fool. Matter of fact, Jeremiah goes a little further, and he makes a statement, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Now think about that with me a little bit. The heart is deceitful above all things. I don't care what you want to mention. The heart is more deceitful than anything you'll run. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not just wicked, but desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then he asked the question, who can know it? By that he said, you don't even understand how deceitful your own heart is. You don't understand how desperately wicked your own heart is. I give you, for instance, whoever thought that David would be committing adultery? And then to the point that he murders, he has one of his mighty men put to death to try to cover up his sin. Whoever thought David would do something like that? The heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. You don't even understand. We don't even understand how wicked our own heart is. And then for somebody to say, I've just got to follow my heart. No. It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We're not meant to follow our heart. Matter of fact, In the Proverbs, it makes a statement. I love the book of Proverbs, and I think every daddy ought to take the book of Proverbs, and every place where you find it saying, my son, these are verses you ought to sit down and make sure that you get across to your children. And he makes a statement in the book of Proverbs where he says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, Proverbs 23:19, and guide thine heart in the way. We're not meant to follow our heart. We're meant to guide our heart. I just got to follow my heart. No, you don't follow your heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You're not to follow your heart, you're to guide your heart. In fact, the Bible gives instructions to guard your heart. He said, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But protect your heart. Don't let anything get in there that needs to be in there, because the issues of life, the outcome of life, is all dependent upon what goes in here. So you guard it, and then it's so wicked and deceitful, you don't follow your heart, you guide your heart. In our reading, the Bible said that Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel's not following his heart, Daniel is purposing some things in his heart. He's wanting to take control. And he purposed some things in his heart. You know, it all starts that way. If we don't purpose to do some things, we won't do those things. And it all starts with a purpose. When I stood at the altar with my wife and we exchanged those vows back and forth. And I purposed on that day to love her till death do we part. And somebody asked my wife one time, you ever thought about divorcing him? She said, no, I've considered murder a few times, but not divorce. She may be considering it now, I don't know. But there was a purpose that we made. Matter of fact, we got married the same when you got married. You thought within yourself, others aren't making it, and others are falling apart, but not us. This is a real thing. Ours is going to last. They see you when you go out and you open the door for your wife, and an older couple walk by and say, huh, yeah, that, you're newlyweds, aren't you? That won't last long. And the sad thing is, for a lot of people, it doesn't. First get married, I mean, you it's raining a little bit. You drive your car right up to the door to let your wife out. Some of them little new ones, you can drive it right in up the aisle and let her out the door. But you drive it right at the door, you let your wife out. And I mean, when you get in the car, you open the door and she gets in and slides over and you get in and you sit so close together, looks like a two-headed man going down the highway. And then some time passes. I actually had a guy in our church that told his wife that in the state of Illinois, it was illegal for a man to start his own car when it was snowing outside. And had his wife going out and starting a car for him in the wintertime. And I called him in to talk with him. And he said, well, preacher, she's not real bright. I said, I knew that the day she married you. She could have been real smart. But when I got saved, I purposed, I want to love the Lord. I want to put him first. I want to serve him. I mean, many other Christians get in and get out, but not me. I want to be faithful to finish this thing. When we had children, and those children are born in the family, I purposed, we purposed, you know, we brought them up, dedicated them to the Lord, and we purposed that we want to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and train them in the way that they ought to go. I mean, we purposed that in our hearts. And you come to an altar and you purpose these things and when you join the church, you purpose within your heart, I'm gonna be a good church member. I'm gonna be faithful, and I'm not gonna get out of church. And I'm gonna be faithful, and I'm gonna stick it through and allow the Word of God to deal with my heart. And we purpose these things, and that's a good thing. But there's a lot of people that made that purpose in their heart, whether it was a marriage, whether it was faithfulness in church, whether it was a purpose to spend time with their family and raise up their children. There's a lot that made those purposes that it never panned out. When you make a purpose, when you come to the altar and you make a decision and you purpose something, you stand at the altar and you get married and you make those vows and you purpose something, it's not all over because you've purposed that. That's just the beginning. Daniel purposed in his heart. And once Daniel purposed in his heart, everything Daniel did after that, he did on purpose because of what he had purposed. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat or wine. And then he went to the eunuch and he requested. Everything he did after that point was based upon what he purposed. Everything he did on purpose because of what he had purposed. Daniel is not following his heart. Daniel is guiding his heart. When we stand there and we exchange those vows, and I'm going to love her and all these things till death do we part, and we exchange those vows one with another, we purpose that, then that means this: everything I do after that ought to be on purpose because of the purpose that I made that day. I'm not to follow my heart, I'm to guide my heart. My son, be thou wise and guide thine heart in the way. Somebody says, well, preacher, how do we guide our heart? Well, I'll be happy to answer that question, but if you keep asking questions, we're going to be here all night. Right? How do I go about guiding my heart? I want you to turn to a verse in the Bible that I think has been one of the most misused verses. You know, a lot of times we can hear something and without thinking, we'll repeat it or look at it the same way. One of the most misused verses that has been preached in the Bible, in Matthew chapter number 6. And verse number 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've heard people take that verse and they'll say, I can tell you where your heart is because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. But that's not what the verse says. The verse does not say where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. The verse says, for where your treasure is, right now, present, there will your heart be. The way that I guide my heart is by putting my treasure in certain places. And where I put my treasure, my heart is going to follow. For where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. I'm not supposed to follow my heart wherever my heart wants to go. Just no. Because it's deceitful and desperately wicked. I'm to guide my heart. And the way that I guide my heart is by where I put my treasures. Now, treasures is more than just your money. My time is a treasure. I got 24 hours today. You have 24 hours today. Never to be used again. My time is a treasure. My thoughts are a treasure. My efforts, my energy, my conversation. Everything that I have on a temporary basis, all of that is a treasure. And where I put my treasure, my heart is going to follow. So we got to be careful where we put our treasure, because where you put your treasure, your heart is going to follow. And then you think this is where your heart is, and you think you're following your heart, but really you've guided your heart to where it is. Proverbs 23:19 says, guide thine heart in the way. And the next verse warns against hanging around the wrong crowd and the wrong people, because where you put your thoughts, your conversation, your time, where you put your treasure, you're going to guide your heart in that direction. In the Garden of Eden, Satan came to Eve. And you know what he did? He turned her attention to one tree. Her thoughts were there. The conversation was there. Consideration was there. And it wasn't long she guided her heart and she took of that tree and she ate. Over and over we hear the same story, where I had a man call me for lunch here just a couple months ago, and we sit down and went to lunch, and he began to open up to how he and his wife have fallen out of love, and there's a lady at work that he just got to follow his heart. She understands and all these things. And so I stopped him. I said, no sir, you don't follow your heart. The problem is you've guided your heart. You did not fall in love with that lady at work. You guided your heart in that direction because you put your time there, you put your thoughts there, you put your efforts there. And when you put your treasures toward her, your heart followed. No, ma'am, you didn't fall in love with that man on the internet. No, we're hearing it over and over and over again. No, you put your time there. You put your thoughts there. You put your treasures there. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You guided your heart in that direction. David, watching Bathsheba, he guided his heart. And then you think you're following your heart. I've had guys come in, they make the statement, well, preacher, just my wife is not the same woman that I married. We fall out of love. No, you don't fall out of love. You leave your first love. She's not the woman I married. Here's what I always like to tell the men. What you married is what she became under her parents' leadership. What you have today is what she's become under your leadership. Proverbs 31 is not really written to women. It's written to a man. King Lemuel, the prophecies his mother taught him. When he said, who can find a virtuous woman? She's saying, who can produce this type of woman with his leadership? It's not what to look for in a wife, because that woman's already married. She's got children. But he's saying, what man under his leadership can produce this type of woman in his home? You've guided your heart. Sometimes we guide our heart away from God and away from the church, and a lot of times young couples get in financial ruin because they guide their heart after things they don't need to be spending money on, because they look at these things and they think on these things. And the more treasure they put in that direction, their heart begins to follow that direction, and they end up getting in a mess. So if I'm to guide my heart, I've got to determine and I've got to purpose where my heart is supposed to be. Not to follow it, but where is my heart supposed to be? And I'm to guide my heart in the way. You are going to guide your heart in the way or out of the way, but I'm to guide my heart in the way. I'm to find where is my heart supposed to be. And that's where I ought to put my treasures and guide my heart in that direction. Well, let's take some thoughts here tonight. I know this. My heart is supposed to be towards God. I do know that. That means I ought to put some treasures there. That's why he talks about meditating upon the word. Spending time thinking about it. That's why it's so important. That's why your pastor always stands and says, read the word of God. Read the word of God. Read the word of God. You know why? You invest in your treasures there. You read the word of God. You spend time in prayer. You meditate upon those things throughout the day. Throughout the day, you're mindful. There's a God in heaven. You're mindful of his presence. You put your treasures there. If you put your treasures there, your heart will follow. That's why I write out the tithe check every week. Not just because I don't want to be cursed. When I write that tithe check, this is my treasure. And I want to put my treasure toward him. My tithe check, I make it out to the church. We're supposed to. The tithe is given to God through the church. Problem is a lot of people give to the church. That's why they want to follow everywhere it goes. You know, you give it to God through the church. I remember one time we bought a big commercial mop. It was like $30 mop or something. Big commercial mop. And we had a man in the church just got upset. He stood up. I mean, $30 for a mop. Good night. And stormed out the door. I thought, man, I've never seen anything like that before. No one else seemed to mind. The treasurer came up afterwards. He said, preacher, I wouldn't let that bother you if I was you. If everything you gave for the whole year went to buy a mop, you'd probably be upset too. But that tithe, it's more than just obedience to God, though it is obedience to God. That's why he said God loves a cheerful giver. He'll bless the gift. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully, sow spirit. He'll bless the gift. But if you give it cheerfully, he loves on the giver. According to man purpose in his heart, so let him give. And he'll bless the gift. But God loveth a cheerful giver. If I can go with the mindset of, I'm just wanting to put my heart in this thing. I'm placing my treasures to God. This is where my heart's supposed to be. And I want my heart to be towards you. God takes special time to love on the giver that'll do it cheerfully. I always tell our people, you know, God loves a cheerful giver, but we'll take it from grumpy people too. But he'll love on the cheerful giver. My heart is supposed to be towards my church. Well, then I'll guide my heart there. That's where my treasures ought to be. I ought to invest my time. There's something going on at the church. I don't want to be there. I want to invest my time. I want to invest my efforts. I want my thoughts to be there. My energy to be there. I want to be a part. I want to be faithful every service. And I want the preacher to know I'm faithful. I want to be there. I want to be faithful. I want to put my treasures there. I'll give to the parking lot fund. Is that what you said to say? No. But listen to me. All those, the tithe, that's God's. You don't give the tithe, that's already his. You're just faithful. You've not given anything until you give above the tithe. The tithe's already God's. And so the offering, this is free will. To the tithe, I add an offering. You know why? Because I want my heart to be in the church. That's why I put an offering above the tithe. I want to put my treasures there, because where my treasure is, there will my heart be. I want my heart to be there. To put the time, the thoughts, the energy inside the local church. To have the local church a priority. We raised our family around the local church. I'm not opposed to sports. Our son Noah trained horses and showed horses and jumped horses. And I mean, they had him in a lot of places. They took him to Kentucky to show horses, a lot of different places. He's tall, he sits up straight, he looks good on the horse and has good control over him and different things and involved in that. But never did he miss church service for it. We had two of my older sons were all conference basketball players. But the coach knew come Wednesday night, they're going to be in church. Come Sunday, they're going to be in church. Even when they were practicing, he knew when it come time for church, they're leaving and they're coming to the house of God. This is a program. Somebody said, well, they made a commitment to that team. No, they made a commitment to God long before they made a commitment to that team. And this is where I want their heart to be. I want their heart to be in the basketball. Now, that's fine. I'm not opposed to sports. I think guys all learn to sweat and compete. I'm not opposed to any of that. But the treasure ought to go in the house of God because that's where your heart ought to be. Our heart ought to be toward the lost. That means we ought to put some treasure. There ought to be somebody lost that we're praying for. We ought to be mindful to pass out tracts. Why? Just to get our heart directed that direction. We ought to give to missions. You know why? Because where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And I know to a lot of you, I'm preaching to the choir. Understand that. Matter of fact, I saw a bunch of you up here in the choir just a little while ago. Understand that. But sometimes the choir needs to preach to. I mean, I purpose, this is where my heart needs to be. And so on purpose, I begin to put my treasures there so that I guide my heart in that direction. My heart ought to be toward my family. My heart ought to be towards my wife. Yeah. Yeah. I have purpose. She's the one God has for me. My heart ought to be toward my wife. No business with thoughts towards anyone. No. My heart ought to be towards my wife. That means I have purpose that, which means on purpose, I've got to invest my treasures there. That means I've got to once in a while spend some money on her. I said it. I know you're going to think I spoil her. Every once in a while, I'll take her to the Dollar Tree, give her $5, tell her she can get any five things she wants. Any five. Take your time, any five. I take her to McDonald's, tell her she can get any three items off that value menu she wants. I know it. I know you think I'm spoiling her. We were talking earlier about flowers. You know, and most men think flowers, you buy them, they die. But to women, there's just something about 1 year for Christmas, I had delivered to her a fresh bouquet of flowers to go on her dining room table. And I had it arranged with the flower shop, and there was a card put in there that for the next 12 months, she was going to get a fresh bouquet delivered every month. The second Tuesday of the month, every month, have a fresh bouquet on her table. You think those flowers meant a whole lot to me? It did when her eyes lit up. Preacher, why would you do? Because I need to guide my heart towards her. And so my treasures go there. We'll so often have a church call and ask if my wife can come preach. To have a ladies' meet and ask my wife to come speak to the ladies. I always tease her about that. And I'm always saying, oh, yeah, she'd be great at it. And my wife would say, why do you tell them yes? I said, because you'd be great at it. She said, I'm not a speaker. They don't need a speaker. They need a wife and a mama. That you are. You know, and things. But every time before she speaks, I'll go buy her a new outfit. When I do that, then she says, when do I speak next? You know. We were up in, I think it was Minnesota. We were up in Minnesota, and she was speaking to a group of ladies for something. And I went up with her, and they put us up in a motel. And she's speaking, everything else. She's getting ready. We're in that motel, and she gets all ready. And of course, we travel a lot and get to stay in motels in different places. And she looked at me and she said, "Honey, do you see this motel that we're in tonight?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do. It's nice, isn't it?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is." She said, "I just want you to understand you're here tonight because of me." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I understand that." She likes to go for walks, so we go for walks. She likes to walk through the mall, so we walk through the mall. We did it for exercise. We went early one time, was walking the mall for exercise. It works pretty good. The first time we went, I lost $50. So it works pretty good. Thought I was doing pretty good going around there to that lady with the walker past me. But anyway, I just call her up once in a while and say, "Honey, why don't you get dressed? I'm going to take you out to eat somewhere." Probably every 4 to 5 weeks, we're able to with the ministry with some free time. Just every 4 or 5 weeks, whenever I feel it's needed, I'll just, on a Monday or a Thursday, just tell her to pack up. We'll go somewhere and spend the night and come back. Why? Because that's where I want my heart to be. So I put my treasures there. For where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. No. You didn't fall out of love. You just quit dating each other. You quit putting your treasures there. I'll buy her a box of chocolate, my favorite kinds. We were put up in a motel here not long ago. We come in, and of course there's a fruit basket there, and then a bunch of candy bars and the things off to the side. And we come in, I said, "Look, honey, they got you a fruit basket." You know? No. My heart is to be towards my children. Those children are born within the home. And I know you with young children, all of us old people always say, "You better spend time with them because they'll be gone before you know it." I remember when all those old people said that to me. And my thought was, "Well, you're just old. That's what old people say." And now I'm the old person that's saying it. But they are gone quick. You realize you got a 10-year-old. You've probably got 8 to 10 more years. That's it. What John the Baptist sent to turn the hearts of the Father toward the children? The hearts of the children toward the Father. How do you get your heart? You got to guide your heart to each other. You know how to do that with your treasures. I get tired of these people saying, "Well, we're just planning some quality time." You can't plan quality time. Quality time happens out of quantity time. It just happens. You can't plan it. It happens. "Well, we don't get a lot of time, but we plan it. It's quality time." That's like going to a steakhouse and they bring out this little itty bitty steak. And I say, "What is this?" "Well, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. You're going to like this." I can look right now and tell you I don't like this. That's why most preachers are heavy. We can't afford to go to those restaurants and serve little portions. It's buffet for us. No. You guide your heart. You put your treasures there. You have time with them, thoughts. And there may be somebody in here, you're on the verge of messing up big time because you think you're following your heart. But you've guided your heart in areas where it ought not be. And what you do need to do tonight is to put a stop to it. No more treasures put in that direction. A stop to it. And start guiding your heart in the way. Put your heart where it ought to be and where it needs to be. Where are you guiding your heart? "I just got to follow my heart." That's a foolish thing. Daniel purposed in his heart, and then everything Daniel did after that was on purpose because of what he purposed. Everything you do ought to be on purpose because you've purposed to guide your heart in the way.